here today with Michelle Quist. I am so excited to talk to her. I've been reading her articles for years. She's always got a great voice, and she has an interesting story. She's running for attorney general in Utah this year, and she's running as a third-party candidate. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, as well as all of her cool things she's done in her background. So, Michelle, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
So I would love it if you would just tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey this far to the point where you're running as a third-party attorney general candidate.
Yeah, it's been quite convoluted. Right now, I'm an attorney in Salt Lake. I do commercial litigation and appeals. And this is not my first run as attorney general. I ran maybe 10 years ago when the office was up for election in an internal election. And so I've been watching it for 10 years. And as an attorney, it is important to me that the state's law firm essentially is well taken care of. And it hasn't been. And so when the attorney general election became open again this year, I realized that there might be an opportunity there because I am an attorney and it has been important to me. I realized that there might be an opening there and a need. You asked about my background. I have been out of law school for 24 years. I graduated in 2000 from BYU. I went to BYU in undergrad. And so I was in Provo for quite a while, about 6 years. I did undergrad a little quicker than normal. And then I went to New York City to work in a large law firm there for a few years. I took some time off when I got married and got pregnant with my first child. And I took about 8 years off. My family moved from New York City to Los Angeles, as my husband at the time worked in a law firm from New York and then to LA. And I took the bar in California. I didn't work, but I just found myself at home with kids. And I thought, oh, I might as well just take the bar. I don't know why, but I just, you get the mommy anxious. And
the California bar is so easy. Why wouldn't you?
You know, three days of law questions.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Utah and I took the Utah bar. And a few years later, I realized I wanted to get back to work. I wanted to start using my legal degree in a way that made sense. And so I went back to work for Judge McKay on the 10th Circuit. I was a clerk and then a staff attorney for the 10th Circuit here in Utah. The 10th Circuit is based in Denver, but it has offices here in Utah. And Judge McKay was a mentor and just a huge hero for me. And I was there for about a year and a half and had some more babies. I have 7 kids. All of my work experiences interspersed with the pregnancies and babies and child rearing, as every woman's, or I should say as a lot of women's professional careers are interspersed with their family life. And that's how my career is too. And so then I started working as the dean of admissions at BYU Law School and realized that it was an administrative job. And I loved the students and getting to know the students, but I missed the legal work again and I had another baby. So I took another little break and started doing some appellate work at home and started having some solo clients from my house. So anyway, long story short, I am working again in business litigation and appellate work here in Salt Lake and just realized that the attorney general position in the state is such an important job that I realized that my voice, I just want my voice to be heard on the issues that are relevant to the office. And so I just decided to jump in.
That's an amazing story. And I did not know you had 7 children. That's incredible. I've done the same thing as you said, many of us have, where sometimes we're having babies and we're not working. And sometimes we jump back in and take the California bar for fun.
You don't work around them. You work with them. A lot of my career has been kids, without kids, part-time, full-time. And a question I often get is, how do you do it? Or sometimes, why do you do it? But I'm a single mom, right? I'm their only parent. And so there's no why do you do it? I do it. I'm the breadwinner of my family. But so I have to do it. But they see that I love it. They see that it fulfills me. But they also know that I love them. And that being with them, with their activities and at night and in their lives and is who I am as well. And we're a family that makes it work together. And of course, each family is different, but the traditional family is a definition that is defined in each household. And in my household, the traditional family is mom and 7 kids and a dog. And we make it work by taking it a day at a time.
That's incredible. And that's a lot of work, but you make it work. You make it look so easy.
It'd be easier without the dog.
Yeah.
She's so dirty. No. Okay, though. They love her. They love her.
The pets are important. Got to keep the pets. So I'm also interested in how you decided to run. Attorney General is important, but you have been a Republican and even an officer in the Republican Party in Utah, and now you're running with the United Utah Party. So tell me about that and how that came to be, and how I'm fascinated with third parties and how they work. And so I'd love to hear about that.
I had difficulty with the Carroll trial and the fact that former President Trump is still the front runner of the Republican Party. Because I had real difficulty with that, I was distancing myself from the Republican Party because of that. I don't want to be associated with any party leader associated with rape. It irks me. I don't like it. And so when the opportunity came to align myself with a different party, I looked at the United Utah Party's platform and it resonated with me. And so I was meeting with the chair of the party and we were talking about opportunity to run for attorney general. And we just kept talking about it. And the opportunity was there to run for the office, and running with the United Utah Party would mean that I could get right onto the general election ballot. That was a benefit of running with the third party and aligning myself with the platform of that party and not with the Republican Party at this point in time made sense to me.
Understandable. What's the process like for the third party? Is it the same as it is for Republican Democratic candidates, or do you have to do something different?
It is the same. I mean, it's the same as far as statutes are concerned. Mm-hmm. If you follow the same statute for any party, you have to reach a certain threshold of votes. If I had an opponent, I would have a primary. I could do signature gathering if I wanted. It's the same as far as statute goes, as far as I know.
Yeah. And so you're the only candidate for the United Utah Party, so they'll pick you at the convention, presumably.
Presumably, yes. That's what I'm hoping.
You never know politics, right? But I'm sure they'll pick you. And then you will be on the general election ballot with the Republican and Democratic candidate, which is hard to do in a state like Utah I'm in California, that has predominantly one party. It's hard for some candidates to get on the ballot because you've got the primaries, often the race, right?
There's also a Libertarian candidate, I believe. There will be, I think, at least four candidates on the general election ballot.
Given the voter's choice. I like it. Okay. Yes. So what kind of inspired you? You've run for office a couple times before this. Why is running for office something that interests you? What inspired you to run the first time?
I think good people have an obligation to be involved in our public discourse. And I think I've always believed that. And so that's why I ran the first time. I think it's really easy to let other people do it. And I think I've always just believed that because I'm able to do it, that I should do it. And so I do it. I've also kind of, I say I have a big mouth, or I have a lot of opinions. I guess I've never really been shy, which is funny because I am an introvert. And so I don't know why I say I'm not shy, but I guess I'm not afraid to speak my mind. And so I guess I just think that good people should be involved in politics, because if you're not going to do it, somebody else will.
Yeah, that's so true. Have you had any experiences when you're running for office, or, I mean, writing your articles or anything that's affirmed that what you're doing is consistent with your divine potential, what you're supposed to be doing?
Never had experiences that tell me that I shouldn't be doing it. So opposite, right? I've never been going forward on my plan and been told, Michelle, this is not the right thing. Sometimes it's important that you make the decision and then go forward. And then you know whether it was the right thing to do or not. I've always been a big proponent of, I'm going to make the decision and then go forward with the plan. And then if it's not the right thing to do, I'll know. Something will happen and I will know. So I've made those decisions and I've gone forward with my plan to execute on that decision. And nothing has told me that I've made the wrong decision. And so I think I've always made the right decision.
That's an important perspective, because I feel like a lot of times women especially want some sort of affirmative affirmation that they're supposed to run for office or they're supposed to put themselves out there. And that's often not how it works, right? We got to make the decisions. We got to do the hard work. And then God will direct us and tell us if we're not doing the right thing and change our path a little bit. As a third party candidate, you will be on the general election ballot. It's a long shot, though, right? To win as a third party candidate. How does that influence your campaign, your elections? What's inspiring you to run? Why are you in the race knowing that it's a long shot that running as a third party candidate will get you elected?
If you never take the long shot, you never know what will happen. You can't make decisions based on certainty. That's just not how I've ever lived my life. You can't ever make marriage decisions or where you're going to move or how many kids you're going to have. None of those decisions can ever be made, or I've never made those types of decisions, only when I'm 100% certain. And same kind of thing here. I know that it's an uphill battle. Utah has never elected a third party candidate, especially in a statewide election. But number one, you never know what's going to happen. Number two, I have a great message, especially with the history of the office, how it's been. The office is ripe for change, and I have a great message around that message. And number three, it's not always about the end result. Sometimes it's about the journey. And I know that sounds like cliche or like a meme or a TikTok, like, meme or whatever, but you don't know the kind of change you can produce on the way to the end result. And that's not to say that I don't think I can win. I'm just saying that there's still a lot of good that can happen along the way.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of women who've run and lost and are very grateful, not just for the experience, but also because their voice was heard during the campaign and they were able to influence the person who ended up winning and what actually happened with the office. Totally understand that. And you're right. With politics, you never know what can happen. I've worked in politics for 20 right. years, and I'm constantly right. still surprised at the results we get.
And that's part of the reason why I jumped in, was that I saw what was happening and I saw the kind of an anointed winner being chosen. And I didn't understand why we weren't changing the conversation. I didn't understand why we weren't talking about lawyering in the state's law firm. And I was frustrated and I wanted to be part of that conversation. I also, the last time I ran, it sparked great things in my life. And I think running for state office or running a campaign or putting yourself out there, I think it's a great idea for women to do. And I think more women should do it.
How come? Why should more women run for office? What's the reason behind that?
A lot. But one of them is the effect they can have on the people around them. My kids, for one, my daughters need to see that it's important to be involved, that their voices are important to be part of the conversation. My sons need to see that women are in the room so that they'll listen to the women in the rooms that they're in. I just think that the community needs to see that women are on the ballot. It has to stop being an anomaly. Right? Oh, there's a woman in the race. Like that has to stop being, oh, that's so neat.
Bless her heart.
I'm so tired of it being part of the conversation, but it still is, right? I think we have, like, on the general election ballot, we'll have at least, obviously we have Lieutenant General Deidre Henderson, and I think she'll remain our Lieutenant General. But I think we'll have an opportunity for two more state executive officers to be women. I think that there's an auditor, a woman running for auditor, and I'll be on the general election ballot for attorney general. How amazing, right? Yeah. But the fact that we're still saying how amazing.
I know.
I'm tired of that being a conversation point. Like, I want to get to the point. We're 50%. Women are 50% of the population, right? Like, yeah. I'm tired of it being part of the conversation. In my house, obviously, because I'm a single parent, it's normal for mom to be in charge, right? Uh-huh. Like, this isn't totally abnormal for my kids, but it's still abnormal in the community, and it's still abnormal in business, and it's still abnormal in politics. And I just want to get to the place where it's not abnormal anymore.
Yeah, where it's not, it's a non-issue. It's just,
they're
running for office. It's not, oh, they're a woman running for office. They're running for office. Yeah. Yeah. I'm preaching to the choir. I totally agree with that. So do you feel like you've faced any extra roadblocks running for office as a woman, and especially the negative side of campaigning? I know a lot of women they're scared of that part of it, that it's going to get negative and mean and nasty, as politics inevitably does. And how have you handled that?
It's early. This campaign is early. I'm sure it will come up. The last campaigns have. You always come into the, you should be at home. I'm sure I'll get the questions. You shouldn't be working. So we'll give it to the guy. Yes, those things do come up. There are also other factors. If a woman isn't comfortable asking for money, it's a very awkward conversation. I've already hit up my friends. Oh, we can't give. Oh, well, will you do this for me? Oh, no. Okay, then how about this? It's very awkward to ask people you love who've been your friends for 25 years to either give you money or have a meet and greet in their house or spend the next 8 months asking other people for money for you. And then when they actually do give you $200, it's like, oh my gosh, you just gave me $200. I'm so sorry. It's awkward, right? And for women, it's sometimes even more awkward. And if you have the tendency to think that's awkward, that could be hard. Also, if you're non-confrontational, which many women are, that could be difficult too. You've got debates. You have meet and greets where citizens come up to you and get in your face, like, what about this issue? What about this issue? I don't like your stance on this. They're not shy about telling you what they do not like about you. They send emails about what they do not like about you. And so if you can't let it go easily, then it's more difficult.
Do you have any advice on how to navigate that if you are somebody who maybe would take it to heart or mm-hmm. who doesn't really love the conflict? Should these people still run? Should they consider running? Is there something else they should be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Consider still running and get a trusted friend. Get a trusted friend to send this to, like, oh my gosh, look what this guy said. Or get a trusted friend to, hey, will you ask these five people for money? Or run for nonpartisan offices. City council is nonpartisan offices. In some states, school board is nonpartisan offices. There are plenty of public offices or offices that you can do that are nonpartisan that are going to be less confrontational. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I if you get some of that experience, then maybe you will get better at it.
Yeah.
Be able to Absolutely. Jump at a higher rate.
Exactly.
Because I do think you get better at it as you do it.
You do. And you realize that when you start having those conversations with people, that people are just people. And if you listen to them, if you take the 30 seconds to listen to them and say, I understand what you're saying. Thank you for letting me know that you discharge their emotion. And then you both walk away. Okay, I was heard. Thanks so much.
Yeah, that sounds like what I try to do with my kids. I've got lots of practice with that. What's some helpful advice you've received along the way of your political career?
That was some of it, is listen to people because they want to be listened to. People are losing faith in political discourse and in the political system. and being authentic and taking the time to listen to people really goes a long way. Another good piece of advice I remember is that politics is local. If you start to lose faith in it, remember that maybe you might get upset about what's happening in DC, but you can make a difference in what's happening in your city a lot more, and that's going to affect you more than what's happening in DC. Politics is always local more than it is national. It just affects you more at home. Just be kind. It's always the best advice. The same thing that you just said is that the advice you give your kids is the same advice that works in politics. Just be kind.
Yeah, which makes us really good at it, I feel.
The way we've raised our kids is how we can treat people kindly in the political sphere, get things done, and spend time to work with each other, listen to each other, and then actually get things done that need to, that's not appropriate English, but I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and women are good at that kind of stuff. We're good at not to generalize, but a lot of times we're very good at the building the relationships and talking to people and being respectful and listening. Yep, absolutely. Running for office is obviously not a solitary effort. And we've talked about this a little bit about getting a friend, but how do you build that friend team? How do you know who to ask and who's actually going to be the supportive friend who maybe will read the mean emails and filter them for you?
Yeah, that's hard. That's probably one of my weaknesses, where I bring in my baggage. I'm a hyper independent person. My hyper independence is a trauma response of being let down before, right? I'm still working on that part, but you find the people, and it's typically the people that respond to you, right? If they are responding to you and if they are following through with what they've said they're going to do, then those are the people that you hold on to. It's interesting when you switch parties and the people that you thought were friends aren't returning your phone calls anymore. Those people aren't friends that you thought they were. But the like-minded people that you are getting along with who are returning your calls and just eager to help, those are the people you hang on to tight and don't take them for granted and buy them lunch and just make sure that you're grateful.
That is probably a pretty good test of who true friends were. That you shouldn't base your friendships on what political party people belong to, but I can see that happening.
Yep.
We are almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you if you have an invitation for our listeners, something they can do today or this week to prepare them to run for office one day and get more politically involved.
I think that my invitation is to become politically involved. The campaign season for this year has started, right? Their campaigns have started. And so I would invite you to find somebody that you want to support and do one concrete thing to support them. Either send them a donation or send them an email and saying, I would love to volunteer for your campaign or make a few phone calls. It's so hard to find people to help on a campaign. So I would just encourage them to reach out to find somebody they want to support, a female campaign they want to support, and reach out to support that campaign, because it's hard.
And how do they reach out? Because I think a lot of women maybe would, but they're not sure what to do. How would you reach out to your campaign if you wanted to volunteer?
So on every campaign is going to have a website, and on that website is going to be an email that says, volunteer for me. So send that email an email, and that campaign will follow up with you. Absolutely.
And you can click the donate button too, right?
Always.
Even if you're just giving $5.
Anything helps.
Absolutely. Yep. Michelle, you are delightful. I've loved talking to you. I've loved hearing your story. I wish you luck with your race for Attorney General. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting race. Oh. And thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.